Good Monday morning to you, my Walking with Jesus friends. Cataclysmic disasters arouse the attention and response of people and nations, and very often the trajectory of history is changed in these unforgettable events. Do you agree? But here's an important question. Can you discern the work of God in these great disasters? The Sunday morning Japanese bombing of Pearl Harbor, 81 years ago yesterday, is an example. America's response was a whole-scale effort to enter World War II with a vengeance after that day, and our world has never been the same since, including the greatest outflow of missionaries taking the gospel worldwide following World War II, including to Japan and all Asia. Similarly, the invasion and conquest of Israel by the Empire of Assyria in 722 changed that part of the world forever, as we saw yesterday in 2 Kings chapter 17. The people of the southern kingdom Judah were watching very closely, fearful King Shalmaneser of Assyria would bring his juggernaut army a few miles south and attack Jerusalem. Jewish wicked King Ahaz was leading Judah far from God at that time, and he even closed the temple, forbidding worship of God, and he led the Israelites to embrace idolatry even in Jerusalem, according to 2 Chronicles chapter 28. Despite the fact God had sent the prophets Isaiah and Micah and others to his people, neither Israel to the north nor Judah to the south had ears to hear or appetite to learn from God. It was a dreadful time in Israel as God's judgment fell upon wicked kings and spiritually rebellious, hard-hearted Israelites. Pause. Have you learned how dangerous it can be to nurture a hard heart and deaf ears toward God? Young Prince Hezekiah watched as his hard-hearted father King Ahaz defiantly rejected God in Jerusalem, even while Northern Kingdom Israel was experiencing God's harsh judgment through the Assyrian army. Finally, Ahaz died, and Hezekiah became king in Jerusalem. Immediately, Hezekiah called the people to join him in reversing course, eradicating the wicked legacy of his father, King Ahaz, cleansing and reopening the temple, demolishing idols and altars to false gods, and restoring wholehearted devotion to the God of Israel, according to 2 Chronicles chapter 29. The people's response was enthusiastic, as seen in the greatest Passover celebration experienced in Jerusalem in centuries, as described in 2 Chronicles 30. God's great blessing poured out upon his repentant people in Jerusalem, and once again, a season of peace and prosperity reigned under Hezekiah's God-honoring leadership. 20 years after the conquest of the northern kingdom Israel, the next generation's vast armies of Assyria, under a new king Sennacherib, seeing the bounty and beauty of Jerusalem, finally set their sights on the conquest and destruction of that city and God's great temple. The miracle deliverance of Jerusalem by God sending a warrior angel to defeat and destroy Sennacherib's vast army is yet another amazing history-shaping deliverance by God of his people, as described in 2 Chronicles chapter 32. Similar to the early days of King Solomon, those early years of King Hezekiah were a wonderful time to be alive in Jerusalem with God's abundant blessings and protection. I wish I could tell you that this wonderful season lasted for centuries, but sadly, Hezekiah followed in the path of so many people who simply cannot remain humble and God-focused while they experience bounty and blessing. Have you learned yet how easily our hearts can be drawn away from God in times of applause or the appeal of bounty? So what is your defense plan so it doesn't happen to you? 2 Chronicles 32, verse 25 gives us this sad summary statement. But Hezekiah's heart was proud, and he did not respond to God's kindness shown to him. Therefore, the Lord's wrath was on him and on Judah and Jerusalem. After Hezekiah's death, his son Manasseh assumed the throne in Jerusalem, and he was one of the most wicked, despicable Jewish kings of all time, and he served longer than any other king in Israel's history, 55 years, according to 2 Chronicles chapter 33. The horrific bloodshed, immorality, and idolatry of those years was so offensive to God, when finally God sent his judgment on Jerusalem. According to 2 Kings chapter 24, God lays the blame, in large part, on Manasseh's failed leadership. Why? Was Manasseh any worse than other wicked kings of God's people? I'm not so sure. I believe Manasseh's greatest failure was because he was the son of the remarkable King Hezekiah, an eyewitness to God's great blessings on Jerusalem, born during Hezekiah's miracle additional 15 years of life after God raised him, Hezekiah, up from his deathbed, according to 2 Kings chapter 20. Manasseh turned his back on all he had experienced of God's greatness and blessing. Fortunately, God's patience had not yet fully run out on the people of Jerusalem, and one final remarkably good king turned Jerusalem back to God. His name was Josiah, and amazingly, he was placed on the throne at age 8. Similar to Hezekiah, as Josiah led a moral cleansing of Jerusalem, spiritual revival soon followed, especially after the discovery of the long-ignored books of Moses. Josiah led a great citywide spiritual repentance, culminating in another glorious Passover celebration, this time unlike anything seen since the days of Samuel, according to 2 Chronicles 35. Josiah reigned for 31 years, and Jerusalem again experienced a great outpouring of God's blessing. You'd think the obvious contrast of God's response to the seasons of God-honoring leadership, like Hezekiah and Josiah, would cause the people to reject any kings such as Manasseh. But alas, Josiah was followed by 4 brief wicked kings, and finally, God's patience ran out on his rebellious people. 2 Chronicles 36 is the sad but very important conclusion of the southern kingdom Judah. 3 punitive invasions from King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians not only ransacked Jerusalem and the temple, but led away thousands of Jerusalem Jews into captivity. But true to God's merciful nature, in each Babylonian invasion, God was working to assure that his people would not be left without a spokesman of God. Now watch this, my friends. In the 605 BC invasion of 2 Chronicles 36, teenager Daniel was taken to Babylon as a young captive. Do you remember how God raised Daniel up to be advisor to Nebuchadnezzar and other emperors over more than 60 years of history? In the 597 BC invasion, 2 Chronicles 36, verse 9 and 10, Ezekiel was taken captive to Babylon, and he was God's spokesman to the thousands of Jerusalem captives in exile. Finally, in 586 BC, King Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Jerusalem and God's glorious temple, built by King Solomon about 380 years before. Among the smoldering ruins of Jerusalem, Nebuchadnezzar left the poorest of the Jerusalem Jews and the elderly or infirmed, who could not have survived the 750-mile trek to Babylon as captives. God, in his kindness, made sure his prophet Jeremiah was among them, remaining in Jerusalem. So, God, even in pouring out his judgment on his rebellious people, made sure he had strategically positioned his prophets in Nebuchadnezzar's palace, among the exiles in their slave camps, and remaining in smoldering Jerusalem. Do you see God's love for humanity and the extreme to which God will go to keep his offer of forgiveness, salvation, and eternal life available to every generation? Further study notes are in the grand narrative link below, and if you desire much more in-depth analysis of this period of biblical history, 2 years ago I spent several weeks on this, and those editions of Walking with Jesus are found in the Daily Archives tab on our homepage in the months of July and August of 2024.